Perek Gimel, the end of Mishnah Gimel. Ve'inyan HaKarbon, paragraph beginning. Ve'inyan HaKarbon, your print, it's about Kuf Yud Beis or Gimel, around there. Kuf Yud Beis, Kuf Yud Gimel, something like that. Kuf Tezvav, you're getting way ahead of me. Holy Kuf Ches. What we learned last time is that all food contains in it a combination of Gashmias and Ruchnias. All food contains in it what we would call the mass of the food, which is what gives the body the sustenance, and the spirit of the food, or the energy of the food, which is the Ruchnias of the food. The end of the previous paragraph, which he had not learned inside, he explains that there's really a combination of potential for Tov and Ra in everything, as we know. Now here he explains, Inyan Karbin hu hayakach. The Inyan of bringing a sacrifice, bringing a Karbin, is as follows. Bringing a Karbin is not exactly the topic that would be easiest to explain to a modern person. In other words, of all the parts of Yiddishkeit that people have no connection to Yiddishkeit find strange, Karbonis would probably be the most primitive to many of them, because if a person doesn't appreciate what's behind it, it seems like a waste. Take an animal, shecht it, spritz its blood, and then burn the meat. So he's explaining a little bit. He's not trying to rationalize it or justify it to people who have no amuna, but he's nevertheless explaining the inyan of a carbon, and specifically of the part of the carbon that's eaten. He says, Inyan HaKarbon HaYakach. The Inyan of a carbon was as follows. Ki Aidei HaEish Asher Alam Mizbeach Shu Melamayla Sar HaRa V'Noyser Chelek HaBailam U'mashinehen in Kulay Tov. We said all food has in it Gashmias and Ruchnias, parts that are good and parts that are bad. So the idea of the burning of the carbon is to somehow get rid of the bad. What remains is good. Chen HaYahamon HaYayrib in HaShemayim Kulay Tov. The man itself had only the good part of the food and nothing bad. Now it's an interesting thing that in the Midbar they had no use for bathrooms. There was no body waste because the waste comes from the part of the food that has no value in Ruchnius. That has none of the Ruchniistic value. And since man was lechem abirim achalish, dilam, cause the food of angels. So therefore, people who ate the man had no need for bathrooms. And the megla, they didn't have to have newspapers for any other.
Drinking water, didn't have to.
So it doesn't say, he's not talking here about the drinks, he's not revealing how it was. But, v'chein basar hakarbin, now listen to this. I don't know a clear source for it. He says, just like the man in the midbar, there was no waste from the man. The same thing, the meat of a carbon, nivla kulei ve'evaren ve'ena maitzi mimenu psailas. Sort of a miracle in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that what a person ate did not create psailas. Chumoch muchach mechazal lechem abirim ochalish and nivla be'evaren. Abir, literally, lechem abirim is the food of angels, but shenivla be'ivarim, it's a play on the word abirim, that it was absorbed in the body. Elamani mekayim v'yaseh tiyelachal azinecha, great kasha. If, when they ate the man, there was no body waste, so why is there a mitzvah to carry with you tools to dig and cover the excrement? So that was, there were salesmen going around, so every once in a while, got tired of the month, so you bought a donut or a slice of pizza. So that created the waste or sushi. There's no sushi in the midbar.
So they weren't limited to only eating man.
They weren't obligated to eat only man. As a matter of fact, they actually brought out Mitzrayim animals. They could have shefted it and eaten it. So ulachayra, nehi de neima the sphira leila hatana, basa taiva nesa by midbar. It's true, there's a Tana who holds that they were not allowed to eat stam basa, that wasn't a carbon. But they ate basa shlamim. Elavade the gabu nivla beivarim. That was nivla beivarim. That's why the Gemara in Yuma says that the food they ate was some the food that created this waste material was food that came from outside sources. What about the slav? You think they really ate the slav 30 days? Maybe they ate slav. I don't know. It's machlekes rishonim how much the slav, how often it fell.
They were able to eat. There was a mustard. That means that's a raya. The mustard is more halak than ketchup.
Well, they never heard of ketchup. Mustard,
there
we know.
Mustard.
It's interesting. Mustard, not only mustard, but the Gemara said that when you eat carbon meat, you should have mustard. You should eat it bechardol. You should eat it the way you like it. So apparently they had mustard. Which, I don't know if it's brown mustard or yellow mustard, but it had to be deli mustard. The other stuff is not worth it. So at any rate, this is the idea of the food being separated. There are those who eat for non-godly purposes, and they turn even the spiritual part to bad. So if you have a sacrifice to an Avodah Zarah, that's called Lechem Aleihem, so food you can make into a carbon, where you get rid of the physical, so-called bad part, and left with the spiritual, or the reverse. And here he's explaining something, why it is that there's a high madrega of a Rasha, someone who recognizes God, and Bekavana rebels against him. Kamaymer Chazal, Al Amoin, Sha'omar, Klomani Yaisa, Lahakis is Bairi, Vechen Yayakim. There were people that had full belief in God, and they did things to anger God. It's a little hard to explain this. We understand that people sin because they don't believe in God, or because they don't believe in mitzvahs. But the idea that there could be somebody who believes in God and nevertheless is mechavan limrid by is hard to understand. What he's saying is that there were people who wanted the ruach hatumah of the food, and by eating the kayach hatumah of the food, by eating the food in a derech tameh, they were able to come to such a point. Now, mechavan limrid by nimrid losha merida. Okay, Nimrod would be an example. Why he doesn't bring that example, I don't know. But maybe it's not a Gemara. I once dealt with somebody who was a Talmud Yeshiva who had been terribly abused in his youth. He had been a terrible story. I think he knows about it, I know about it, and the therapists that are working with him. But he told me that it left him with anger to the Rabbeinu Shalom, which is very common. He told me that during the break in shul, he lived in Varapak, during the break in shul on Yom Kippur, he would go on the other side of McDonald Avenue and buy trefa pizza and eat it just to get God angry. So he didn't like it, he didn't want it, but on Yom Kippur he wanted to get God angry, so he went and he ate, because he had a lot of anger in him for things that the truth is it wasn't his fault. He was a little child. He was terribly abused.
Was that the same scenario of many Holocaust survivors?
I'm sure there were, although I didn't have personal contact with it. I told him that he's the biggest mammon, that, you know, he believes God. I mean, his father would have caught him, he would have skinned him, you know. On Yom Kippur, a guy that takes a chance of being seen. I mean, I don't know what he did with his yarmulke, maybe put on a baseball cap. But the emunah in Hashem that he has is extraordinary. You talk about Yodei Asribai, now you're Mechavan Limrei. He recognizes God and you know, he wants to get him angry. So there is such a thing. I mean, I'm not holding this person guilty for what he did. I'm just saying there's such an idea, such a level. So why did he go into all this? He wanted to explain the concept of learning while you eat. Shloisha shachlo al shulchan echad, ayamru olav divrei tayra kilu ochlu mizif chay meisim. He wanted to get to this idea that when a person eats, it's a time to put a sefer on the table, to learn a little bit on at the time that a person is eating. So, I don't know, can we say that just like there's a mitzvah to learn when you eat, there's a mitzvah to eat when you learn? If they're eating, it takes out the kedusha. It says, someone who learns during his time he's eating is showing that his kavana is l'shem shemayim. Just explained that depending on how a person eats, he can either take out the bearer of the nitzaitzis hakedusha or of the klipa. Now you're familiar with the idea, nitzaitzis are sparks hakedusha and klipa is tumma. Now that those expressions fit with what he said. He said all food has in it what we explain as the mass of the food, the earth of the food, and the energy of the food. The word nitzaitzis, or sparks, are appropriate for a description of something that's energy. And the word klipa is appropriate for something that's the gashmias of the food. Tzadik writes that typically food has the psilus on the outside and the food on the inside. At least those foods that have shells or peels have peels on the outside and the food on the inside. To show the remez that the chitzainius of things is, it could be bad, but the panemius of things is good. The pit, which is all the way inside, is the biggest bracha, because the pit, although we don't bother with pits, who needs pits? We just throw them away. But when you plant, you need a pit or a seed to be able to plant. And that really has the biggest bracha. So as you go in, it's sort of a bracha. It's a bigger bracha.
No, it's a different. He used to say that Hashem created a beautiful packaging for the food.
To appeal to the eye. Okay. It's not an argument, but it's a separate point. Yeah, I mentioned to you that someone said she was in the fruit store. Rabbi Miller walked in, so she wanted Rabbi Miller to go ahead. So Rabbi Miller said, "I'm not buying here. I'm just admiring the fruits." So he had a way of thinking of the Rabbi Nishalayim. You know, going to a bakery, admire, you know, the Danishes is one thing, but fruit. Okay. And anyway, that's how he's connecting the Mishnah, that when you eat, there should be learning. Just like a carbon, the fire burns away the bad, so too, the Asik and Torah burns away the bad. My words, God says, is like, my words are like fire. Because like the Mizbeach, there's an expression that a carbon, Mishulcha Gavaya Kazachu, it comes from God's table. Now if you look in the Mishnah, it follows with everything he was saying. The Mishnah said, Shloish Shachar Shulchan Echad, V'lai Amru Olav Divrei Torah, Ki Lo Achlu B'Zivchei Meisim. Now it follows. It's like the carbon of a desire. But the word is, Ki Kol Shulchanois Malu Keit Saya B'li Makai. Now he's expressing the person who eats without any learning as a marshal to a table that's full of excrement, that's full of waste. Waste is the Motzaya is the waste, K is the vomit. That the K actually just means what's excreted from the body. Okay. So he's, the marshal is this marshal, the marshal of having just the gashmius of the food as opposed to the ruchnius of the food. So he says, "V'hine ha'ichel b'kavana amitis l'kayim gufa v'nafshei l'avaydis l'kavis bar shemayim." Someone who eats with the proper kavana, v'yivarech bracha haruya, and before he eats, he makes his bracha. V'yask b'toyra ba'achlay, and when he's eating, he learns. Kizer kol pri tachlis achilasai, and that is the purpose of his eating. Humamish k'maya makrif carbon, it's like someone who offers a carbon shenayt l'abehema. Someone who takes food, or in that case, an animal, and he brings to Shemayim, he brings to a higher level the spiritual part that's there from creation, and also the physical part is kaidish. I'll explain it. Just this idea that a person who eats through the learning or davening or the bracha is maila the food. I once heard or read some cipher. It was his custom. He woke up early. The whole some cipher. That whole school is into learning fartog. It's an Hungarian derech halimud. He used to wake up very early to learn. The Rebbetzin would prepare for him a tea and a few cookies. And he had a boy, a young man, that was mishamish him at that hour. So the tea he always drank early in the morning. The cookies, depending if he was hungry, he ate it, if not, not. So this little boy who was mishamish him, you know, was looking at the cookies and thinking, you know, the rub probably won't eat it anyway. So quietly, you know, he took one of the cookies and the second one, he ate all three cookies. So I finished learning, he went to Davin, he looked at the plate. He was not sure he should say halamichya. He said, did I have the cookies? So the boy who was guilty shrugged a little. So he thinks a minute, he said, no. If I would have ate the cookies, I would remember that I made a bracha. I don't remember if I made a bracha. So it's interesting. When we eat the cookies, we don't remember if we made the bracha. Remember we ate the cookies. But anyway, that's this idea. Yavarach bracha haruya is my lid. He ends with the last idea, which I think I mentioned to you the other day. V'chein chubru, at a carbon, we connect kol. Hadoimim tzemeya chayim edaber v'carbon. All four parts of creation, melachu hadoimim. All, every carbon had salt, which for some reason is not mentioned in karbonis. Why don't we mention the salt? I don't know. I'll call karbon chatakra melach. Mincha v'desachim tzemeyach. The flour and the wine that was poured is from a plant. Hu atzmei chai, the carbon itself is a live creation. Hakayin amakriv hu amedaber. He calls the kayin the medaber. Hey mahar ba mine abriya, hanishba mi arba malchei maila, hagavayim habamunin aleyim. The four parts of creation correspond to Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, the four primary angels. Hagavaya, and arba ois yishalavaya baruchu. They correspond to the yud and the hey and the vav and the hey. Arimaylam abahem usakno isam. So we have an expression that when someone brings a carbon, he should look at it as if he himself was offered as a carbon. Now that sounds like a punishment. He himself was offered. But the idea of a carbon is that we take all the parts of creation and we bring them to the higher level, to a ruchniyistic level. So we bring the daimim, the salt, and the flour, and the animal, and we'll mile them. So a person looks at himself, ki'ilu, he was nikriv as a carbon. Doesn't mean as if he was punished. It means he was nis'ala to be turned into something. So too, all of us tzaddikim who eat to be satisfied, we do so to give ourselves chiyus for avaydas Hashem. So I guess the lesson of this whole arichus is this lesson, that when a person goes to eat, the job of the eating is to, when you learn the idea of shlosh shachlu, that you have to have divrei Torah on it, is that the achila, the physical pleasure of the world, should also have in it the aliyah of the thing, of the gashmiyistika item that's being eaten, similar to a carbon, which is nisala as well. So that's this idea. I just like to learn Mishnah Dalit, because there's no commentary on it. Reb Chanina bechakedo yoimer, hanir balayla, someone who's up at night, v'amahalach b'derech yichidi, and someone who goes on the road alone, umefane libay lebatala, and he turns his heart to batala, harizem ischaya benafshay. Ischaya misa, somebody who's at a time when there are no distractions. At night, he goes out, he goes for a walk. Now what's he thinking about? He's thinking about silly things. Harizem ischaya benafshay. He's wasting his soul, so to speak, because it's an opportunity. What? Final Liba is going on the first two? No, it's going on the Nerba Lima Abadar Chichidi. And when he's doing that, he's the final Liba Labatolam. He's a Mishayev. We understand.